Oh, that didn't work.
But
nobody go nowhere. We making it clear. We're putting it right in your ear. This is the You Stole It All, Give It Back podcast. I am Fifi Patterson. I'm here with the number one soap of the ally. Who am I here with?
This is Nick. Nick, you countries.
All right, so we're doing this. It took too long, but we're doing it again. And we are here once more to talk about... Oh, I should turn this off.
That's official wax. That's a wax move.
Yeah. I probably played like $5 for that 7 years ago. I think I got my money's worth. So,
Yeah. Just for this moment. That was good.
So, you know, it's been a while since we did this. We kept putting it off, but we are here. You know, the world's a terrible place, and it's a lot of things have been upsetting us. Why is the world a terrible place? Why is it a terrible place? Because
the white man's got a God complex, but I got two babies.
All right.
What's the opposite of a shout out? Like, what's the negative version of that? Like, a shout out is positive. What's the negative? Is it a call out? I'm calling you out.
Yeah, that would probably be it. Yeah.
It's like a call out, right?
Yeah.
The negative shout out.
Yeah.
All right. I'm doing a call out just right off the bat. I'm doing a call out. Calling out John D. Rockefeller, original white devil.
I mean, it was white devils before him, but
yeah, but he was the yeah. But this is big pharma. This is backing the Nazis. This is a man, the original Mr. Burns, the upper echelon of white devil section.
I mean, yeah, but I think I think he started some museums or something.
No, okay, see, I'm so glad you said that, because what he did was he masked his white devilishness with the idea that he was a philanthropist and giving money to hospitals and schools and just providing art and all this other stuff. But what he was doing was he was creating people to work for him.
Yeah.
So he would put people on the school boards who worked for him, like the board, like not Harvard. I forget the names of the schools right now, but he had his own people working on the board, so they would teach these doctors, these future doctors, the kind of science that was pharmaceutical, which would directly benefit him. And so basically they got rid of all natural healing, and it just became all pharmaceutical teaching. I mean, if you see it now, you know, no doctors know anything about nutrition. This is directly because of John D. Rockefeller. The man is the devil.
All right, I guess somebody read an article this week.
Oh yeah, I was googling like crazy.
What made you go on that deep dive?
No, I read a book. It was a book because a friend of mine who's having twins, she um, she, you know, she's all into reading about vaccinations and stuff like that. So all of that is directly related to Big Pharma, and he is the head of the Big Pharma consortium.
Oh, so she's not getting her kid vaccinated?
She doesn't want to. I mean, she's done all sorts of research, and you know, it's brought her to that conclusion that it's just nothing more negative than positive potential, you know. I do it. We do it to our daughter.
I would have a problem if the official baby of the You Stole It All Get It Back podcast was not vaccinated. Because, you know.
She's definitely vaccinated.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she's definitely vaccinated.
Yeah.
Vaccinated.
I don't know.
We worry about it, but we still do it.
All right. Since you brought up the official You Stole It All Get It Back baby, why I bought you an Aphex Twin onesie, and I expected a picture of a baby in an Aphex Twin onesie, and I have not received it.
Did you not yet?
No, I haven't. I would remember if I saw a baby, especially the official baby of the You Stole It All Get It Back podcast, wearing an Aphex Twin onesie.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I just want to say specifically that this is an official Aphex Twin onesie. I did not get it from some bootleg website. It's official.
Okay. So Aphex Twin directly profited.
Yes.
From that purchase. Okay. Yeah. All right. So this is what I'll do. The week that we go to see Aphex Twin, I'll get the picture made. I'll get it done. It'll be official.
What's this?
Just to hype us up.
What's this wee shit?
I'm getting a ticket.
You're getting a ticket? How high are you going to go for this ticket?
Above 120.
Okay, well, I don't know if that's going to get it done, but, you know, good luck with that.
150?
I mean, right now it's going for like, I think the last time I looked, it was like 230 plus fees.
Oh, God damn it. That's ridiculous. I don't know. We'll see. Listen, I'll go on Craigslist or something. Figure it out.
I don't know.
There's got to be like a Facebook group or something. I don't know.
Well, you need to be working on that, so.
Yeah. I'll get on it. All right. Who are we talking about this week?
All right, we're talking about a graduate of the Odd Future Academy, Earl Sweatshirt.
And who is he?
Earl Sweatshirt is a he came out with like maybe the greatest rap song that a 15-year-old ever came out with, called Earl.
Mm-hmm.
He made a video with the with it that was so disturbing that his mother sent him away to a boarding school. And I can understand that if I were his mother and I watched that video, I might have had a similar reaction. It is disturbing. Not in a bad way, just in a way that if it was your child, it would disturb you. But if it's not your child, it would just seem cool. And
to us, it was just a bugged out video.
Yeah.
With great lyrics.
Yeah. And then he came back from, you know, his exile. He dropped a couple of albums. I have both of them on wax. The second album, you know, was weird. I didn't totally get into it, but I respect him so much that I still keep the wax. And now he came out with this album, some rap songs, and I just got it on CD. He got downgraded to CD.
You got downgrade. What is that? That's a downgrade. Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that? Is that because of the quality of the sound?
No, it's just it's just like a money thing of like, you know, after the second album, it was just like, I don't know if it's quite on a, you know, there's just levels, and I don't know if it's quite on a vinyl level still, but I decided I still need to get the CD. I still want to support at the CD level, not at the vinyl level.
Okay, so it's a respect thing. Like, you respect an album so much, it gets vinyl. If you respect it a little less, it's CD.
Yeah. Like, I remember that happened that happened with Beck, where it was like Beck was getting his albums on wax. Then it went down to getting the CD new. Then it went down to getting the CD in a used CD store if I found it, and then it went down to I don't fuck with Beck anymore.
Okay. So, okay, so the album that we're talking about, some rap songs.
Yep.
It's bugged out. It's weird. On a strange rap scale of like 1 to 10, where would you put MF Doom and where would you put this album?
I would say this is stranger than MF Doom, because I think MF Doom still has like that sort of like ethic of like it being needing to be like, you know, rhymes and flows that are somewhat identifiable. This is,
and also the beats for MF Doom I feel are a little bit easier to follow.
Yeah. I mean,
like with this, you get like an oddly chopped sample on some rap songs. It's like some of the songs, it's just oddly put together. Like a verse might be spoken a little not to the beat, or the drum pattern refuses to behave. You know, it's just like every song he does something that kind of goes against the grain, but it fits him and the album for some reason.
Well, it's all very underdeveloped, and I don't say that in a necessarily negative way. Like, it's just sort of like, it just, everything just seems sort of like in the embryonic stage, and it was just like, I'm not going to overthink this. I'm not going to try to turn it into something else. This is just like the raw thing that I came up with in my room, and that's it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a couple of songs, like even the third track, Cold Summers, it sounds so raw. It feels like he recorded it in his car. Like, he was just hanging out with someone in the car, and he just got the feeling and hit record on his phone, and, like, that was the song right there. Like, someone was playing a beat in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, it just all feels very a very like sort of like druggy, just sort of
definitely druggy.
Yeah, like oh, this feels true in the moment. I'm not gonna like try to make sense of it or edit it later, kind of a thing, which makes it interesting. But at the same time, it's like it's kind of like a grueling thing to listen to. I mean, grueling.
Right.
Grueling might be a bit of an overstatement, but.
Well, okay, so the strength of each song, I don't feel is the beat or necessarily the lyrics. I think it's the created mood. Like, he has a vibe on each song, and that's kind of what is the driving force. What's some examples of that? I don't know. Like, they just seem like a lot of the songs seem personal. And not like sometimes, like even in the mint, it gets personal, but it also feels like he's trying to reach to a grander level.
Well,
with some of the lyrics.
Well, I also yeah, this is a thing I wanted to talk about. So I just feel like he's working towards a different paradigm. Like we grew up, and like did you ever go to Fat Beats?
Yeah.
So you went to Fat Beats, and like if you were facing the window on 6th Avenue, on the left it was all like new shit, and then on the right it was all like classics. So I think like our generation, it's always like we think in terms of it like of like a physical thing on a wall or something like that, and it being like a classic record. And I feel like the paradigm he's going for is like that it's meant to be sort of disposable. Like, I don't think there's any, like, it's just meant to be like, oh, I know Earl's sweatshirt. This is, I'm going to be in his headspace for a week, and then I'm just going to listen to the next album. Like, I almost feel like he's going for that. Does that make sense?
To a certain extent. I mean, are you saying it's like an over-honest album? Like, there's an air of, these are my unfiltered thoughts at this moment. And I'm not thinking about the future. I'm not really thinking about the past.
Yeah, like, I mean, I just don't know if it's like now it's almost like rappers are almost like Like, it's like, oh, you're just sort of like in their headspace and that's it. And like, you know, if they're trying to make money or, you know, if they're just trying to make something random and that's it. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just something where they're not going for, they're not trying to make something that lasts forever because they don't even believe that that forever exists. There's something like nihilistic about it. I don't know.
So you feel that's what this is?
Yeah, I feel like that's what this is. It's just like, fuck everything. This is something that's true in the moment. Take it or leave it. Kick rocks.
Is that different from, do you feel that that's different from what a lot of new rap is, or it's similar?
I mean, I probably don't know enough about it, but I mean, but like, here's the thing. Like, I would never, like most rappers, I wouldn't like have listened to one of their albums as much as I listened to this one, because I just liked, I love that first, or, you know, those first few Earl songs so much that I'm always just sort of interested in what he's doing.
Right.
Like, I listen to the Mike Black Soap EP, which is like, he's like in this same camp that Earl Sweatshirt's working with now. And it's sort of similar, but I don't know who the hell Mike is. I listened to it once. It was like somewhat interesting, but I wasn't going to keep listening to it, as opposed to Earl Sweatshirt. I'll keep going into it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know this guy you're talking about. You said Mike what?
His name's just Mike. That's it.
It's just
like on, like on,
that's his rap name.
Yeah, like on Discogs, when people have the same name, there's like a number next to it. So he's Mike 408. So in the database, there's 407 other people just named Mike.
I mean, you know, the thing about Odd Future, I always wanted to like them. Like, they were always intriguing to me. But it's something, I think it's just more the idea about them.
Yeah, I like them more than you did.
I like the what? Yeah, you say you like them more than I did.
Yeah, I was more into it than you were.
Well, I mean, I wanted to be into it, but whenever I listened to it, it's something about the musicality just wouldn't hold me.
I mean, I just like that they were interesting, and they're always trying something new, and it was just like really experimental, and sometimes the experiment worked.
Right.
Sorry. But sometimes the experiment didn't work, but even when it didn't work, it was at least like interesting what they were going for. They weren't going easy.
No, I get that, but sonically it was tough for me to just hang in there with them.
Yeah.
And if I'm hanging in there with someone, like, that's not necessarily a good thing. But I respect everything about them. Like, I respect them way more than the majority of, you know, a lot of these new rappers.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they do have a movement. And they obviously have a lot of followers. There's a lot of kids who, you know, are kind of waiting to see what they do next. And I don't know. You know, I dig them. Just not to that level where I'm looking out for them always. That's all it is. But back to Earl, what do you think about this? I heard that he has a poster of ODB in his home studio, which is where he recorded this.
Oh yeah, you read the Pitchfork interview?
I did.
Yeah,
I did. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I read that too.
So what do you think that means? Like that what aspects of ODB do you think he tries to keep in mind before he records, or when he's recording? You think it's like it's like a reminder of, you know, write what he wants to say, not what people want to hear? Or is it?
Yeah, you know, like, I think it's a reminder of like just being like an MC, or not even necessarily an MC, but just like reacting to the track and just doing whatever you doing whatever you feel is good in the moment. And not even worrying about, because that's when, you know, ODB was at his best, when he was just reacting to the track.
Yeah, and also that's what art is.
Yeah, I mean, also famously, ODB, like, you know, I think he never really wrote rhymes. They would just keep playing the track back, and he would just sort of like build the track one line at a time.
I heard a lot of rappers actually, like a lot of really good rappers do that.
Yeah.
Nas used to do that.
Yeah.
A few others. But I found that was interesting, like just one poster of ODB in the home studio, and that like that's who he's aspiring. Something about that he's aspiring to.
Would it have made a difference to you? Because in that article it said that he just wanted it to be one long track. Would that make more sense for this album?
Maybe, but I like how it came out. I like these, you know, 1 minute and a half songs. I thought it just kept it fresh.
I also think that, you know, all the songs are just like, I think the whole thing's like a dream. He even says like, and like, it's all just sort of like, because that's how my dreams are, where it just keeps shifting nonsensically from one thing to another. Most of it's mundane. And so that's the way it sort of felt to me. It was just sort of like shifts. It felt like dreamy. And also that last track, the instrumental, that sort of felt like, you know, like the morning, like that sort of sounded like waking up to me.
Riot, last song, Riot.
Yeah,
that was cool with just that weird way that he's flipping that sample. I don't know who does the production on it, but the way that sample flipped is really, really cool. I like that.
Yeah.
What would you say is the song that kind of sounds the most like a beat that you've been aware of, like a beat you've heard before? Because a lot of them aren't.
Yeah, the only song that really like sounded like a song, like a straight up hip hop song, was probably
a head nodding track.
Like was probably like track 6. I don't remember what the name is.
On the Way?
Yeah.
It's that soul sample one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's the template for like those new kind of East Coast beats. Like just with the soul sample flip, the vocal and everything. But I thought the bends sounded like some old kind of Wu-Tang beat almost.
What number?
Eerie piano.
What number is that? That's
track 8. Track
8. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like that whole middle was like probably like the most bouncy.
I mean, I thought it was good, like the way that it built up, and like the strong stuff is kind of in the middle.
Which song is the one that starts out with "I'm running things"? I'm running things.
Oh, right. That's
I'm running things.
I'm running things.
I don't know what it is, so you need to know what it is.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I know it's in the middle. It could be a Zucar or a Lucy.
Yeah, that sounds right.
9 or 10.
Yeah, it's like in there.
No, I think that's the Benz. I think that is the Benz.
So what number is that?
8.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's the one I was saying.
Yeah, I went through different phases with this. Like, I remember at first it just sounded weird to me, probably because we were on this album for like 5 weeks. It's like the first week and a half.
Yeah.
I was just sort of like, this is weird. Then there was like a week and a half where I was like, yo, this is awesome. Then there was a week where I was like, oh, this album again. And then this last week, I was just like, I really respect this album.
This last week, I actually started like picking out lyrics for the first time. Like I started memorizing lyrics. And I thought this, a lot of these songs got better with each listen.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
didn't, it's not like that. I didn't like it the first week, but the last week, I was like, man, a lot of these songs are stronger than I remember. You know, like even the random songs that I like, not the middle ones, like the end ones, the really weird, like Eclipse and Veins. Like 11 and track 11 and 12, those were like weird and but like really lyrical, and like something about the way it grew on me. They start to fit perfectly on the album.
Yeah. I mean,
if okay, can I give you a hypothetical question?
I thought these were all hypothetical questions.
Well, no, this is all opinionated.
Oh, okay.
But so hypothetically, if you wanted to see him team up with a different producer, would you want it to be like out there, like a an electronic kind of like an Aphex Twin or Burial? Would you think that would be an interesting fit?
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like he's at this stage where, because in the article, it seems like he's like really overthinking this whole thing of what other people think of him. So he's like trying to like go against it. I don't know. I'd really, so I don't know where his sort of head's at. I mean, I think this is a cool album if like the next one's a little more conventional, but like, I just hope it doesn't keep going like this. But I don't know. It seemed from the article he really needs to like believe in the producer. So I don't think you could like just stick him in a studio and he's just going to start, you know, going along with what a producer does.
No, he needs to vibe with one person.
Yeah.
Who's going to produce for him. It can't be like, oh, let me listen to these beat CDs that these random people sent me.
Yeah, no. Like,
a la 50 Cent, you know, 50 Cent would just go through beats and just pick out these ones. Like, yeah, he needs to have some kind of chemistry with the guy.
Yeah.
Or girl.
Yeah.
But I would love to see him with Burial. I think that's an interesting, that would be an interesting combination. And that might bring some.
Or Annika. That might be good.
Some really good flows. No, but I'm saying someone who makes beats.
Yeah, I think she made those beats at the concert.
Oh. All right. I don't know. I'm just saying Burial is an official beat maker.
Yeah.
And like some of these guys, like, you know, I would love to see them work with a rapper. Like they're DJs and they obviously just make instrumental beats. I don't see what the problem would be with just finding a rapper or something, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely not enough collaboration happening.
I don't get why. I would think they'd all be wanting to do that.
I don't think that there's like enough money to split it up. That's what I think the issue is.
Yeah.
Like, I just think the margins.
That's a good point.
I just think the margins are so tight that it's like, oh, well, if we split, you know, this margin, it's like, what's there even left? So.
Right.
I mean, you can't blame me. I'm buying records. So who can we blame? Let's see if I had to pick.
I pay for albums.
Oh, okay.
And I'm doing Spotify Premium.
Oh, okay.
Which means, because, you know, in all honesty, I've wanted to up my sound quality.
Uh-huh.
And to get like a high quality streaming, I figured that was the next logical move I should make. So that's some of the money's going to the artist.
All right. I also just want to randomly compare this Earl Sweatshirt album to like, it kind of reminded me of like Syd Barrett.
It's a good call.
Because it's,
Yeah.
It's just like a very.
Just making something for himself, right?
Yeah, like it's like you're just.
Very druggy.
Yeah, you're very much in this other person's headspace. And you either.
I feel like.
And you either sort of go. Like you can't. And you can't bring like, oh, I want to be this or I want to be this to it. Like you just have to sort of go with it.
Yeah, just accept it. But I feel like he was probably really, really proud and enjoying listening to it while he was really high. Like he would get really high and listen to it after he recorded, and it was probably, you know, that perfect album for him right then.
Well, I also, he seems like, and I get if he growing up in his age group, he seems very like he doesn't want to be self-conscious. So if he turns the songs into like another thing, like if he takes it and he's like, oh, I'm gonna make it like a club banger or something, it sort of makes him feel subconscious. So it's just like you're just getting what's coming off the top of the head and what feels true.
But that is kind of what we wanted back in the day from some rappers. You know, like like that is an ideal kind of situation for some of our favorite rappers back then.
I mean, I think it's cool as a sort of like weird in between album. Like, I'm fine with it on that level.
Right.
It'd be
so overall, how would you rate this album?
I would say it's good. It's very interesting. It's a very weird album, but you know, it's cool.
It's way different from any other rap album you'll ever hear.
Yeah,
I think.
I mean,
and Earl Sweatshirt isn't the typical mold. Like he definitely has East Coast influence. Like a lot of his songs sound like the beats sound kind of East Coast with samples and everything. And his flow is kind of Inspector Deck-ish, maybe Wu-Tang-ish.
Yeah.
You know, but he doesn't. He just seems like a different kind of person. Like, he seems like he had some kind of family structure.
Well, his parents make an appearance on the record.
Really? What song?
On track 13, his father passed away recently. His father was like a famous African poet, and he's on track.
So that was him playing possum?
Yeah, that was that's track 13. Yeah, it's his father and also his mother, who is still with us. I believe.
Okay.
So it's just like a really interesting, cool album, very very idiosyncratic. But I like that. I mean,
simple.
But like, I have to, you know, like, there's probably not enough of that in hip hop. So I mean, you know, I can appreciate it.
Yeah. No, it definitely grew on me. It gets a "You Stole It All, Give It Back" thumbs up from me.
Okay.
What about you?
I mean, I can't do thumbs up. I mean, that's not me.
That doesn't
feel like me. It's good. It's a good album. It's definitely not for everybody. I don't think I'm gonna go out of my way to find it on wax, but if I was in a record store and I saw it, I would probably buy it in that situation.
If it was the right price?
No, I just feel like I need to, like, there's some records where it's like I need to, like, I'm not gonna go out of my way to get it. If it like sort of comes to me as I'm looking for records, then I'll take it.
Okay.
And this is one of those records. So but yeah, if you don't like weird, you're not gonna like this record.
Right. I agree with that. It's way off the beaten path. I like it. I grew to like it.
All right.
It just refuses to behave in the manner that I'm used to rap albums behaving, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So
next subject.
Yeah, the next subject is a question I have for you. Why didn't we go to the Fortet concert?
We slacked.
No. This one was on you. You're the Fortet guy.
Was it?
I told you if you want to go, let me know. But you were the one that needed to sort of like tip it. You're the fourth.
Yeah. When was it again?
I think it was like the 3rd and the 4th of February. You're the Fortet guy.
Yeah,
you like
Fortet
more than me.
I know. I don't know why we didn't go, aside from I was tired and I don't know. It would have been good, but I was also thinking that we're going to try. I'm going to try for Aphex Twin.
All right.
So, we're just getting off a good stretch of concert going. We had Annika. We had numerous Tom Yorks.
Tom York was like in November.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
So we didn't have anything in January.
Annika. Yeah, we had Annika in January. Was like late January. And I know that Tom York was in November because I just got the poster frame.
You got the poster.
I just got it from the frame Philly place. Yeah, for Philly.
The Philly one? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like Forte, you know. I don't know. Whatever. You know, I get in my mood sometimes, and sometimes I'm all about it. Like, yeah, I'm gung-ho, and other times I just want to just lay on the floor in my living room, and that's it.
I mean, I'm probably the one that pushes it a little more. I'm the one that, like, yo, we got to go to this.
Yeah.
So
you weren't pushing it, so I just.
Well, I also just wanted to see what would happen if I was just like, all right, I'm just going to put it on him and just see what happens. And I told you specifically, I was like, if we're going, like, you got to say we're going.
It's on me.
And you were just, were like, let me look at the calendar. And then, you know. and then it was over. It was like, man, I could have been in a room with no more mosquitoes playing really loud. And I wasn't. That seems like a mistake. Even though
I doubt he would play that.
I don't know. That's definitely my favorite Forthead song.
He's got a lot of good songs, though. I feel like that's in the middle of the pack.
Really?
There's some others that are leading the charge. Yeah, there's some others out there that are leading the charge heavy. Like, he's got some grooves. That's the whole thing about Forte. Like, his grooves are nuts. Like, I feel like he's gotten stronger. I think his grooves have gotten better. He did some remix for some... What was it? What's that singer? That pop singer?
Robin?
Nelly Furtado. Nelly Furtado song, and he flipped the song. And like the beginning of it is fucking dope. What's this?
No More Mosquitoes.
What are you playing?
No More Mosquitoes. I just want to hear them say it once.
Okay. It's good.
So, all right. So we established why we didn't go to the Forte concert. All right.
Yeah. I got lazy.
All right. So
I'll take that. Next subject.
All right. All right. Well, I want to just randomly give credit to myself for Ryan Adams came out recently that he is a total dick. And, you know, harasses women.
Yeah, I heard some news. What was happening with him?
That he would just sort of, like, string, like other, like, female musicians along and be like, oh, I'm going to, like, hook you up and this and that. And the hooking them up would sort of be dependent on them, you know, hooking up.
Giving it up.
His, you know, crotchal area. And I just want to take credit for the fact that I always thought that Ryan Adams was whack. And I mean, I didn't know this about him, but I remember from the second he came out, I was like, nah, I don't like this guy. So,
which one is Ryan at? He's the guy who did the Robin Hood theme song.
Yeah, I have no idea about that, but he's always less sort of like.
Everything I do it for you. Isn't he that guy?
No, that's Bryan Adams.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not.
So who's Ryan Adams?
He's like, he's just like this bullshit, like, you know, trying to be like a smart indie rocker guy, like the lead smart indie rocker guy, but he really just sucks. And I always knew that.
Oh, shit.
So I was very happy. You know, it's unfortunate
that you saw through it.
Yeah. He had that thing where it's like he would try to like look like his hair was all messed up, but it was like done in a very specific way, which I think is bullshit. It.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good.
Yeah. Who were those guys who were doing that? Was it those guys from Manhattan? Was it the Strokes?
Yeah. I didn't like the Strokes
either.
They
would do that shit.
Yeah, they were whack too. And then I remember I lumped the Strokes and the White Stripes together, so it took a while for me to figure out that the White Stripes were awesome. And that the Strokes.
Oh, shoot.
I like a couple of Strokes songs, but they basically suck.
I mean, I feel like just musically, they knew how to do some things that sounded good, but I could never follow them for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. It was, And I'd never even seen videos, so I didn't know what they look like for a while. But, like, it's something about... It just sounded like something I had heard before, I guess. And I was just... They just didn't impress me. Oh, we are bashing them.
Yeah, no, somebody else to bash. You have not watched the Michael Jackson documentary, and I have. So
you bashing me or Michael Jackson?
No. It's just Michael Jackson. But I just really I just really want you to watch it because I was very traumatized by it, and I want you to be traumatized by it.
But are you traumatized because you were a fan of his?
I mean, I wasn't like a huge fan, but like it was just very upsetting. Like this person that was sort of like, you know, in my world. And I remember he was like a big deal to me when like Thriller came out and I was like a really little kid. And just, I don't know. It's like upsetting that like he was like this horrible person, but he was like this like shiny, happy thing. I don't know, on my TV screen. I don't know. It's just like a weird disconnect. Do you want to hear the grossest part of the documentary?
Sure.
Okay, so one of his things was he would make the boys bend over and he would whack it off to looking at their assholes.
Damn! Are you serious?
Yep.
That's a fact? How could that be a fact?
I mean, both of the guys said it. I can't imagine that they would be making that up. What the hell would be the point of that?
Oh my God. Was that the Coreys?
No. It's like one guy is not famous, and the other guy went on to become the choreographer for like Britney Spears and NSYNC.
Oof.
So, very upsetting.
God damn.
So I was very traumatized by it. You need to be traumatized too. So you need to watch it.
I feel like I just heard enough. That's it. I'm sold.
No, you gotta watch it.
God, man. All right. At some point, I'll watch it. Okay. I'm trying to get through a very long series right now, so I'm watching Vikings.
Vikings.
Yeah, I don't know how we got caught up in it, and I was feeling at first that it was like one of those guilty pleasure shows. But now I'm like, it's on. Let's go. Let's war.
What is it like?
I like seeing the war.
What is it like, some Game of Thrones knockoff?
I mean, it's about actual Vikings, like the historical figures. It was on it's the History Channel.
Oh, okay.
It's just done like a show.
Are they like raping and pillaging?
Not a documentary. Oh, they're definitely raping and pillaging. Oh,
okay.
Burning.
Like what percentage of the show is raping and pillaging?
What isn't the percentage? It's definitely above 50.
Okay.
Because when they're not raping and pillaging, they're talking about raping and pillaging.
Okay. Are there ever any...
Like they're planning it.
Are there ever any scenes like where there's like Vikings behind? There's like two Vikings talking about something like really mundane, like, you know, like footwear or something.
No.
And like behind them, there's like raping and pillaging happening.
No. I wish. No, they don't have a sense of humor.
Okay.
It's very humorless.
All right. That sucks.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the show I'm watching. I don't know. I'm in too deep.
Well, I just got done rewatching season 3 of Fargo, and I thought it was a lot better the second time around.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like Fargo.
Yeah. Did you watch season 3?
Now, season 3 was what? Was that the Bokeem Woodbine season?
No, that's season 2. Season 3 is...
So which is... Season 3 is where they break the dude out of jail. Oh, that's with the guy who's the devil.
Yes.
And okay. Oh, yeah. Yo, that season is dope.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I like that one.
All right.
I only watched it once. But like from what I remember, just that guy alone is amazing.
Yeah. That guy's pretty incredible.
I don't know if I've seen him before, but he just stole all the show.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
VM Varga. All right. So we
got... This is...
Oh, what were you going to say?
I was just going to remark that his teeth.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like they were actors themselves. Like his teeth were just doing some other shit.
Yeah. And it was, yeah, it was almost like it made it hard to look at him and just, oh, just.
Yeah.
But like.
Yeah, he was gross looking, but like.
But somehow everything he said was somehow still mesmerizing, but.
I feel like each one of his teeth were looking at different cameras. Like, they were going in every single direction that they possibly could.
Yeah, and he was a bulimic.
Yeah, yeah, that was crazy. All right, anyways. Recommendations.
All right, you want to go first or am I going first?
I'll go first. I don't have a song recommendation. I've just been listening to different playlists on Spotify. The latest is Afro Psychedelica. It's just been pretty good, but
what is that like?
I just want to recommend some headphones because I had to get my other headphones broke, and I went to B&H, and the friendly Hasidic Jewish man helped me find these very inexpensive headphones, $34, noise canceling Sony XDR something, very good.
Oh, okay,
very good headphones. They're pumping.
Do they ask you if you're Jewish when you go in there? Like the people on the street, they're like, "Oh, are you Jewish? Are you Jewish?" Do they do that thing?
Oh, the guys with the beating flower, where they have the flower.
Yeah.
And they try to. They don't get into that.
Oh, okay.
They don't get into that.
That's nice.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's more of you know, like, I mean, it's mostly like tourists, I think, who go in there anyways.
All right.
So they're not trying to recruit them.
Okay, so my recommendation is also not a. I'm gonna play music, but I read I'm almost finished with it. I've been reading the past week Buck 65's autobiography. Very entertaining. Very good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So who's Buck 65? Explain to.
He is a Canadian rapper. He's kind of like if Tom Waits was a rapper, he would probably be Buck 65.
Oh, shit.
I mean, Buck 65 isn't as good as Tom Waits, but Buck 65 is pretty good. And also I knew that
lyrically, how would you compare him? Like who's he on the level of?
Are
you on an Earl sweatshirt level?
I mean, there's really nobody that. Who's he on the
level? Nobody does what he does.
Yeah, no. I mean, I would say he's like maybe on like the LP sort of level.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, really?
I don't know how I do it. In my head, I'm like LP, then you said it.
God damn it. Yeah, and I feel bad. I feel bad that I'm comparing white rapper to white rapper. But the book.
Yeah, that was definitely a racial thing, too. Absolutely a racial thing.
Yeah, probably.
You should feel horrible about that.
I know. I really should. You really. It's your fault because you asked me and I didn't have anything prepared. Man, fuck you! God damn it! Shit. All right. The book is called Wicked and Weird. Here's a little Buck 65.
463, an X and O. I can't think of a better way to end the day. 463, a punch, a kick, and I can't think of a better way to end the day. 463, a yes, a no, and I can't think of a better way to end the day. 463, it's life, death, and I can't think of a better way to end the day. Learning the words, turning the double play, doing some damage in my own subtle way. I've been all over, I've seen too much, I no longer feel the need to rush. I'm upside down, I'm inside out. Broken glass all in my mouth, cut wide open, and everybody knew why. Cause when it comes to rocking something fierce, do I.
463. Mmm.
So yeah, it's Buck 65.
All right. So the autobiography is good stuff.
Yeah, Wicked and Weird. So,
Okay.
I left it at work, though. I really wanted to finish it tonight, so that kind of sucked.
Mmm. All right, you had another recommendation?
No, that was it.
Oh, that's it? Okay.
I mean, I could pull out another. There is something else. I don't know. Sure, you want me to pull it out? I guess. Well, I guess now.
Well, all right. We're already on 50 minutes. Just save it for next time. How about we go over what album we're gonna do next?
All right. Well, you said you were gonna have like three artists, and I was gonna pick out one album from each artist, and you were gonna pick one of those three albums. So, who are the three artists?
Okay. James Brown.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have albums?
We could do The Big Payback.
It's a good one. Okay. The other artist is Radiohead.
Okay, well, if we do that one, we would be doing A Moon-Shaped Pool.
Okay. The other one is... Let's see.
I listened to Burn the Witch today. Well, I mean, it came...
Did you really?
It came on shuffle.
I was listening to... I was shuffling and Daydreaming came on.
Oh, okay. All right, who's the third one?
And the third one... Let's go with Run the Jewels.
Oh, Run the Jewels? Oh, okay. I mean, if we did it, I'd probably want to do Run the Jewels 3.
Run the Jewels 3?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Big Payback.
I mean, I feel like it's already been decided.
Run the Jewels 3?
No.
Moonshade Pool.
I mean, I heard Burn the Witch today. You heard Daydreaming today. That's, you know.
All right. I'm fine with that.
Okay. So next time, A Moonshade Pool.
Moonshade Pool. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We could talk about...
I can't believe this. Yeah, we could talk about everything. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was very traumatic when that came out.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's not give too many opinions right now, I guess.
Okay. All right. So is this like the end of the podcast? Is this over?
I think this is it. You want to count people out? Or count it. How about you give them a thank you and tell them where they can tune in and see our updates and whatnot.
Oh, man, you want to do that? All right. Well,
I mean, we should. I mean, the Twitter thing is kind of important, I think. That's what people are doing these days.
They
go to Twitter, they get updates. That's what I do with
if you log on to our Twitter account, it's at @YS I can never remember this. It's
You suck at this. You stole it all. Give it back podcast.
Yeah, but it's at
YSI. Let me say it.
Okay.
YSIAGIB podcast. Okay. YSIAGIB podcast.
And if you go on there, you can see I ranked, I replied to somebody that asked to rank their top five De La Soul songs. And I did that today. And it was, felt quite difficult. I ended up with 8. I got to 8. I couldn't get it down to 5.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
All right. So
all right.
That's it. And we are out in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is surely time that the speech of the Black culture of America be recognized as a genuine dialect of English.
Allen with the pick fro, answer in the outlet. Alley-ooping all this shit home. Powered up, out for the assist, don't panic when it get cold. We go at it, ho. How you want them ribs smoke, family? 10 toes, know you want your shit already. Big stone granite in your fist ball. Standing on the strip, don't panic when the pig comes. Scramble, get the big talk, fed in and get home. Tally up the wins, though. Don't think he said he pro-violence, but it's gonna be your problem if he did, though. I lived out the way, hey. Palace where the crypt stayed. Silent when the pigs came browsing in this shit. Bang like two mallets, too callous for your bitch taste. Remember when they had my grandmammy on a drip drink? How much of that gin strength? Could've filled a fish tank. My doggy hit my cell, say he got me off the strength. That's just how it is, say. You die and then you live, huh? Your heart and then your limbs break. Just catch you when I slip, bro. Was popping popping like a hip bone. I told you, these niggas passing like the sick go. We passing niggas, know we keep the gas inside the spliff roll. The wind get the ashes in the end, bro. We been took you passing your credentials. Bad apple daily clashing with my kinfolk. Badass, it did damage to my mental. Show you right, it took some passages to get grown. They been call me savage from the get-go.
Even no mouse.